began a study entitled Beautiful Feet. We looked at a couple of points last time. We saw for the Christian, again, beautiful feet. We're looking at the spiritual characteristics that the Christian's feet should have. And the first characteristic we saw is that to have beautiful feet, your feet have to be set upon the rock, the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we began to look at point number two. To have beautiful feet, your steps or your feet need to be directed by the Lord. Now, the scriptures are just so rich in instructing the believer to allow the Lord to direct his steps. For example, over in Psalms 18, verse 36, we read, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. The Word of God tells us here that if we allow the Lord to direct our steps, we will not fall into sin. In Psalm 37, in verse 23, we read in the Word of God, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The Bible tells us that the Lord is delighted when we allow him to direct our steps. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse 12, the Word of God says, When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. The Word of God tells us we can be assured when we allow the Lord to direct our steps, we are on the right path, and no matter what the world throws at you and I, we will not stumble or fall. We have to be very careful because our flesh, remember, is still unsaved and wants to control or direct our steps. We are told in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9, A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. That's right, a man's heart. We know that a man's heart is wicked, it's vile, amen. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In other words, what we're being told here in Proverbs is this. We are to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our steps. As the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me ask you, my dear friend, how are your steps being directed? Are you trying to walk in the steps of the Savior? Are you stepping in the light? Or are you walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air? Therefore, stepping in the dark. If your steps are not being directed by the Lord, amen, if they're being directed by the Lord, amen, if your steps are being directed by the Lord, then this should be the characteristic of your Christian walk. First of all, you should be walking in newness of life. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, in verse number 4, the Bible tells us, Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And of course, a lot of folks want to put in water baptism, but it's not talking about a water baptism, amen. We are buried with him by baptism into his death, amen. When we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are baptized into the death of Christ, amen. Our sins have been nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ, amen. We've been totally immersed by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ, amen, and become part of the church. We are to be dead to our old nature. We're to crucify our flesh, and we're to rise up, amen, rise up from the dead by the glory of the Father, and walk also as Christ walked in newness of life, so aren't we to walk in newness of life. Another characteristic that shows that your Christian walk is characteristic of it being directed by the Lord is that you should be walking by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Something very hard to do in the United States of America, because everything affects the eye gate. Everything is by sight in this country. Every product that's being advertised, amen, being promoted, is to affect the eye gate so we can see, amen. There's very little walking by faith in this country because we can see it all, amen. That's why in countries where they're poor, people are getting saved by the thousands, amen, by the thousands, because they have to walk by faith, amen. It's not like this country, amen, where there is so much prosperity going on, material prosperity and abundance, amen, and people have just forgotten Almighty God and who has given them that prosperity and abundance, amen. Also, you should be walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible instructs us to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, if you're walking in the Spirit, amen, then the flesh doesn't have an effect on you, amen. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. You can't be walking in the Spirit and walking according to the flesh at the same time. It's either one or the other. And if you're walking in the Spirit, amen, and if you're walking in the Spirit, and that's a characteristic that your Christian walk, your steps are being directed by Almighty God, is because you're walking in the Spirit and not the flesh. You're walking in the Spirit, amen, and not the flesh. Also, another characteristic, amen, another correct characteristic is this, is your walk should be a walk of love. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible tells us, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Also, you should be walking cautiously. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, the Bible tells us, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then also your walk should be one of illumination, with nothing to hide. And how do you do that? Well, the answer to that is in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, as the Word of God says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, Jesus Christ is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen to that, amen. And then your walk should be one of Christ's likeness. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, the Apostle John penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He that saith he abide in him. John is writing and saying, if you say that you're abiding in Christ, he that abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. If you're abiding in Christ, and you say you're abiding in Christ, then your Christian walk should be characteristic of how Jesus Christ walked when he was on this earth, amen. It was a walk of humility, amen. It was a walk of a servant, amen. It was a walk of coming and doing for others and ministering to others and not being ministered unto. That's the kind of walk, amen. It's the type of walk that took it, the abuse, and didn't fight back, amen. There was no guile found in his mouth. He did not revile back, amen. That's what our walk should be. Let's move on to point number 3. To have beautiful feet, my dear friend, they should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, your feet should have on them shoes which are spiritually prepared. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6 and verse 15 that one of the pieces of the spiritual armor we are to put on is to shod our feet. That's to put on our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, that man can be reconciled, amen? We have as Christians the ministry of reconciliation, that man can be reconciled with God through God's Son by trusting in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Peace can be made with God the Father, amen, if you come through the door, the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my dear friend, before you can preach this gospel of peace, have this ministry of reconciliation, you must be spiritually prepared. You must be spiritually prepared. How do you do that, you may say? Well, first, you must abandon the idols in your life. You must abandon the idols in your life. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments that was given to Moses there in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3 by Almighty God tells us that thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4 says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Every time you put something ahead of God, amen, between you and God, it is an idol. It doesn't have to be a golden calf or a statue of Mary in one of these inverted bathtubs. No, it doesn't. Your idol could be your family. It could be your job. It could be your education. It could be your investments. It could be your position. Whatever it may be, if it comes before God, then it is an idol. In fact, the Apostle John was so concerned about this, he ends his first epistle in chapter 5 and verse 21, and he writes, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. The second thing to be spiritually prepared is you have to cleanse God's temple. Amen. You have to cleanse God's temple, amen, and get down on your knees and scrub the floors and the walls and the ceilings. No, God is not in a building. Today, the believer's body is God's temple. The Word of God tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, it says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? To keep your temple clean, you are to live a holy and separated life unto Almighty God. You got that? Amen. You know, it really amazes me when so-called Christians think they can put alcohol and tobacco into their temple and still not defile it. Amen. We must remember as believers that we are the temple of God, that we belong not to ourselves, but to Almighty God. Now, the third thing you must do to be spiritually prepared is to return unto the Lord. My dear friend, have you been living for the world? Have you been living for the flesh? Have you been living for the devil? You know, sometimes we're like the younger son in Luke chapter 15, who's called, sometimes noted as the prodigal son. And after he asked and received from his father the portion of his goods, we're told that he took his journey into a far country, amen, and then wasted his substance on riotous living. We see when this young man was convicted of a sin, and he came to his father and humbled himself and confessed his sin to his father. He told his father this. He said, Papa, he says, I'm not worthy to be called your son, but make me as one of your servants. And what happened? The old papa, that father, he was very joyous about his son's return. He gave him the best robe that he could find. And then he put a ring on his finger, and he put shoes on his feet, and he made a big feast in his honor. You see, when we go astray, amen, when we go astray like that prodigal son, we can always return to our Heavenly Father, amen, because the Bible says And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. That's right, if we confess. Like the prodigal son did, he came humbly to his father and confessed his sin and the wrong that he had done and how wrong he was. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's right. Amen. You can always return to the Father's house. But we must return to the Father's house. We must return to the Father. How? With a broken and contrite heart. Because the Word of God tells us so. In the Psalm 51 and verse 17, we read in the Word of God, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. A broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Now the fourth thing that you must do to be spiritually prepared is to have personal purification. What do you mean? What do I mean by personal purification? Do I mean that you take a bar of Lifebuoy soap, amen, or the strongest soap that you can find and get in the tub and scrub it off? No. What I'm talking about personal purification is this: by drawing nigh or close to Almighty God. James tells us in the book of James in chapter 4 and verse 8, he instructs us to draw nigh to God. And he says, if you will draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see, we got many double-minded Christians, amen, out there trying to live for the world and live for God. You're double-minded. You're tossed to and fro, amen, like the waves are tossed to and fro by the wind, amen. But let me tell you this, if you draw nigh to God, you draw nigh to God, amen. And then not only draw nigh to God, but also your personal purification comes about by looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of this hope, because we're looking for the blessed hope, because we're looking for this hope, the Bible tells us, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, and every man that has this hope, what hope is that? What hope is he talking about? But in other words, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed hope, the appearance of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And every man that has this hope, John writes, in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So looking forward, amen, looking for the blessed hope, amen, will purify you, will keep you clean. Also, another way, not only drawing nigh to God, not only looking for the blessed hope, will help you with perform personal purification, but also reading the Word of Almighty God. In Psalm 119, verse 9, the Bible tells us, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How shall he cleanse his way? The Word of God says, by taking heed thereto according to what? According to the Wall Street Journal? No, not according to that, amen. According to what the great philosophers of our times say? No, not that. According to what the government has to say, no. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, God's word, amen. You see, you have to constantly cleanse yourselves by the reading of God's word. You must use the Word of God like a spiritual mirror to behold your natural sinful face with its smudges, amen. When we look into the mirror, a physical mirror, we see where the smudges and the dirt is on our face. And when we look into the Word of God as a mirror, we see the smudges or the sins in our lives, do we not? And how do we cleanse ourselves of our sins, of these smudges that we see in the mirror? By allowing the Holy Spirit of God, amen? By allowing the Holy Spirit of God to take the Word of God as a cleansing agent, and to cleanse us. Amen. And lastly, we want to see in our study, number 4, to have beautiful feet, they must carry the right message. Amen. The message that the Christian should carry to the lost and dying world is not if you're a good person, amen, if you do good things, if you give money to the church, if you're baptized or whatever it may be, you'll go to heaven. You'll be right with God. No, the right message that you and I need to carry to a lost and dying world is simply put in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. How did he love the world? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just like Philip preached Jesus, he preached Jesus to that Ethiopian eunuch that he met in the desert. And what happened? That Ethiopian eunuch got saved, amen. And after he got saved, he was baptized. And he went his way, the Bible tells us, rejoicing. Just like Paul the Apostle preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and won many of the known world to Christ. We are to preach, amen. The same message that Philip preached, the same message that the Apostle Paul preached, amen. A message, my dear friend, that never changes. A message that never grows old. A message that never becomes outdated, amen for that. And you know, we need to be careful that we preach only Christ and not ourselves. We need to make sure that it's Christ who is the only one that gets lifted up, so that he may draw all men to him. Amen. We can present to the lost the bad and the good news. However, we must remember, God has given each of us a free will, and it's up to the individual to do what he or she will do with the news that we give them. Remember, Christian, you are but the messenger. Amen. The messenger. Well, we can tell them, first of all, the bad news. The bad news is this, you can tell them. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. The bad news that we tell to this lost and dying world is this. The Word of God says that every man, woman, boy, or girl is a sinner. And the payment for their sins is to spend time and eternity in a lake of fire. That's the bad news. But we also have the good news that we can give them. But God, despite the condition that you're in, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. The Bible also tells us, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, Jesus paid for your sins and my sins. And all that receive him as their personal Savior receive eternal life in heaven with Jesus. And all you have to do, we can tell them, is to accept God's free gift of eternal life. And they may ask, well, how do I do that? Well, how do you do that? You just follow the instructions of the Word of God. The Word of God in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what? Who? The Lord Jesus. Amen. Not Buddha. Not confess Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, Mary Acabetti, Joseph Smith. Amen. Not confess with your mouth about the Quran, amen, or the Book of Mormon, so that thou shalt confess with thy mouth, who? The Lord Jesus. All right, and what else? and shall believe in his heart. What? What do you have to believe in your heart? That God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not, you just can't have a head knowledge salvation. It must be a heart knowledge. For with the heart, see that, not with the head, not with the intellect. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what the Word of God says. That all it takes to be saved, and know when you die, you're going to heaven. Christian, let me ask you as we conclude our study today, what kind of feet do you have? Do you have feet that are swift to spread the gospel of peace, the gospel of Christ? Or swift, are your feet swift in spreading gossip and running to do mischief? Christian, we saw in our study today, to possess beautiful feet, first, your feet must be set upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, your feet or your steps must be directed by the Lord. Number three, your feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And number four, your feet must carry the gospel of Christ to a lost and dying world. Simply that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. My friend, if your feet are not set upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is not your spiritual foundation, then you need to be saved today, right now. You need to, as the Bible says, to have repentance towards God for your sins and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the fact that Christ's blood atonement at Calvary paid for your sins. Today, my dear friend, won't you call upon the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to save you, and allow God, allow Almighty God to bring you up out of a horrible pit and miry clay of sin, and set your feet upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and no longer follow sin, but allow God to direct your steps and follow the Savior. If you never have, won't you come today, right now?